And hot seat coach Brad Brunell,
although it's
got a big win.
It's cooling off a little bit with that 75-61. So both games, if you had a 14-point margin, you're feeling good right now because both games were 14 points.
Pretty good. And later tonight, Georgia Tech is playing Pittsburgh, and the winner of that game has to deal with the University of Virginia pack line defense.
And as I said earlier, my hope is a ACC tournament record, 6 or 7 overtimes where they're...
So they're so exhausted they can't even play tomorrow night.
I don't really care who wins as long as the game's still going on at midnight.
Yeah, I'm predicting Georgia Tech wins that. But anyway, we have a huge show tonight. We've got former UVA legend, quite the player, one of his nicknames, according to his teammates, is the Black Hole, because once the ball was passed to Junior, it never got passed out of the paint. He would always shoot. But
you know, Park Hill always talked about my not having no assist. Junior Burrow, we may have to go to the records here and see
how many assists.
I'll be researching that one.
Probably
right now,
double digits at most. But, you know, Junior was quite the player, and he actually is the ACC legend for the University of Virginia, and he will be honored in a few nights up there at the Barclays Center. And he's been on Who's Talking before, but I think for him, this is probably a really big deal and very exciting to be back in the limelight, particularly up in the Big Apple.
Hey, Junior got a bum rap. He had 112 dimes.
That's not too bad.
I mean, he was giving it up.
He was occasionally, but
he must have been double teamed a lot. You know, he had to get rid of it when he was double teamed.
Well, the other fellow was Harold Dean. Harold Dean didn't look to pass, but... You know, the Wahoos are coming off 3 big wins, and, you know, I think that particularly the second half of the NC State game where Virginia had to really dig down deep and fight a spirited effort by the homestanding Wolfpack to pull out that 70-55 win. Since then, Virginia's been playing Virginia basketball at both ends of the court. The excellent win against the Tar Heels on Monday the 27th, 53-43, and... You know, the Virginia defense that night was nothing short of spectacular, Hobbo. And well, can they replicate that up there in New York?
Well, it remains to be seen. But clearly, Coach Bennett has gotten the team playing defensively the best they've played all year. He's tweaked the lineup a little bit. You know, Ty Jerome is in there. Cal Guy has been starting for a couple of games, which I think is a good move because they were really struggling on the offensive end of the floor. So having a couple other perimeter shooters out there really does help. And I think the two first-year kids, Jerome and Cal Guy, have clearly gotten the message that you have to play the defensive end of the floor if you're going to get on the floor in the Bennett system.
Some more news while Hobbo is admiring that. Virginia senior point guard London Perantes, who was honored just a few nights ago up in Charlottesville, he was named to the U.S. Basketball Writers Association All District 3 team. That was on Tuesday. He joined Joel Berry, Jaron Blossomgame of Clemson, John Collins of Wake, Justin Jackson of North Carolina, Luke Kennard of Duke, Dennis Smith Jr. of NC State, Jason Tatum of Duke, Sindarius Thornwell of South Carolina, and Melo Trimble, a man who was never shy about taking a shot, of Maryland, a former member of the ACC.
You don't want to be bashful.
Yeah. In fact, both those schools used to be members of the ACC.
Yeah, South Carolina back in the day when I was playing my first 2 years, South Carolina was still in the league, and the first ACC tournament I attended as a first-year student, back in those days, you couldn't play as a freshman, but South Carolina was the top seed going into that tournament and ended up losing the final to NC State in a slowdown affair. So a long history of ACC tournaments that I've either been to, seen, broadcast, played in, one or the other. So it's
And while we're on accolades, LeClaire Ryan, Player of the Week, London Perantes, if anybody ever went out on top, if you will, from JPJ, it had to be London, and him walking off the court with head coach Tony Bennett was a beautiful sight.
Very classy move, and as Coach Bennett said, he remembers doing that with his dad, so he in particular wanted to do it with London, who clearly has been a key cog in the Virginia program.
For years.
110 wins during his four-year tenure thus far.
Yes.
More to come.
More
hopefully.
To come. Also, London Perantes made the second team of the All-ACC team. And, you know, I think you could make the argument that really he was first team just by virtue of the fact that, you know, he's a true point guard. None of the players that were listed on the first team played point guard or any guard. Maybe Luke Kennard, maybe, but he's almost forward.
It probably relates more to scoring than anything else, but I think we may have Junior on the line, so let's introduce our guest and go for it here.
All right, first off, Thomas Harold Burrow, a.k.a. Junior, by way of Oak Hill Academy, and now we should report that he's just got his first season under his belt at Norfolk Collegiate as the head coach down there, and I heard rumors that you were able to recruit your old running mate, Jamal Robinson, to be your assistant. Is that true, Junior?
That is true, guys. Thanks for having me. I suckered him into this, too. And, yeah, we've been down here at Norfolk Collegiate just trying to put some good kids on the floor, good academic schools. So we're trying to put some good kids on the floor, some good effort and stuff like that. So we're having a lot of fun building the program back up to where it was.
Now, is that something, Junior, you would like to do longer term, stay in coaching?
You know, I never thought I was qualified, actually, to be somebody's coach, to be honest with you. because, you know, it takes so much out of you, you're trying to give them a game plan. You're trying to put them in the right situations. You have to motivate. You have to be a psychologist consistently. And I don't think I ever played basketball that way myself. So it's been a hard transition for me because I'm just assuming that everybody's having fun. And you should just work as hard as you can, and you let the cards fall where they may. And that's not the basketball world that I live in or we live in now. You know, you're more of a psychologist now than you ever were before. You know, my coaches were all hard-nosed guys, talk to you really crazy, you know, beat their chest. And you went out there and you just tried to execute as best you could against the best competition in the country, whether that be high school or college. And that's the way I thought that's the way you could come in and coach. But I've learned, you know, not just this year, but I've learned over the last few years of being an AAU coach and being around basketball, doing TV shows and radio shows and et cetera myself, that you can't be that guy if you want to be a good coach. Those guys are dinosaurs. And even those guys I've talked to personally, the Bobby Huggins of the world, Coach K, anybody who is considered one of those dinosaurs, they've all trying to lighten up a little bit to try to find a happy median for the new kid that's playing around nowadays.
So are you telling me that Jeff Jones didn't hug you all the time when you were playing?
I mean, you know, if he put his hands up to hug me, I would have ducked first. Then he would have to sprain. So, but yeah, he's a hugger. But I would have made sure he was actually hugging me first, and it had to be in the right situation. I'm not sure if he ever hugged me on the court, and definitely earlier. You know, I think I might have given him more gray hair and stuff. Than you could ever imagine. But yeah, we talk about it now. I've been to his office several times and apologized for things that happened 20 years ago, and he just bust out laughing. So it's been fun, though. It's been a great experience for me.
I tell you, one thing you don't have to apologize for is being this year's ACC tournament legend representing Virginia. We should say congratulations. Just looking at some of the other people, Sheldon Williams, Matt Harpering, Rodney McCray, Antoine Jamison, Josh Howard, Pearl Washington. I mean, you're going to walk out onto the floor Saturday with some of the true greats of the game.
It's an honor. You know, you always start. You know, you always think now, and I got to be honest, guys, I never thought that I'd ever get to this point. I enjoyed all of my time at Virginia. I really took it seriously while having fun. I never thought about my numbers. I never thought about those kind of things. We just wanted to go out there with the group I played with, and we just wanted to compete consistently with all those guys. And everything else just kind of fell in place, you know, the winning, the NCAA tournament bids, the Elite Eight stuff. You know, getting an opportunity to be drafted, all of that stuff just kind of happened from just having fun, giving effort, obviously being coached well, and now it's culminating into having an opportunity to walk out there and have something for my family and my wife and everybody else to look back and say, you know, this is something that you'll always remember. So I'm always pleased to be in that situation, and I'm just happy to be a part of it.
Well, you know, I think that's very exciting, Junior. I remember reading up on your bio the last time we had you on, and I liked reading the quotes by your coach at Oak Hill. He said that he had to work very hard to try to keep up with you because you always brought a great attitude to practices and games, and forced him to be a better coach.
Well, you know, and it's funny that Coach Smith called me yesterday, and now that I'm a coach, you know, he calls you and just tries to get your, you know, because they're still playing, and, you know, and he just wanted to call me and ask me about another kid that I had seen and that we had played a couple of times, and it's just so funny to still have a relationship with him. Like, this guy doesn't have to call me anymore. He doesn't have to find out about my family. He's been a great mentor and a great guy for me just to have in my life. It was the best decision I've ever made going up there, because I think he prepared me so much for the college game, because he put me in those venues where there were 10, 15,000 people watching. He gave me an opportunity to play with other good players. Everybody was being recruited heavily. So, you know, you don't have that pressure, you know, when you're in a locker room where you're the only guy kind of being recruited like that. I learned how to play with other good players, and it just helped me so much. Not to mention, I'm a country boy, and being at Oak Hill wasn't a big deal for me, being in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
You know, I was always that guy, and I think that really helped me up there, because, you know, I love this, you know, that farm life, that, and I know a lot of people struggled with that, but I really enjoyed that part of it. And, you know, I think that's another thing that helped me propel me to being a good player up there.
You know, I was looking at all the players that you played with when you were at UVA. Brian Stith, you got to play with him for a year. Then you had Corey Alexander, Jason Williford, Yuri Barnes were all with you coming into UVA. Harold Dean, Chris Alexander, Cornell Parker, Ted Jeffries, Norman Nolan, Curtis Staples, and, of course, Jamal Robinson. And, you know, it's no surprise that you guys did so well. You know, 1992 to 93, you guys were 21-10, 9-7. Semifinalists in the NCAA East Regional. Then in 94-95, you guys were ACC co-champions. Finalists in the NCAA Midwest Regional, barely lost to a stacked, loaded, high-powered Arkansas team. But, you know, y'all beat Arkansas that year out there, and that's got to still go down as one of the best NCAA wins the University of Virginia has ever had. Right, Hobbo?
Beat Kansas out there, you mean?
Kansas, what did I say?
You said Arkansas.
I'm sorry, Kansas.
Kansas and, that Sweet 16 game.
Right, I mean, that was a huge win. Junior, some of the things we'd like to know about this year's team, and I know you've had probably some opportunities to follow them a little bit. The Wahoos have won 3 games in a row now and seem to be coming in with their confidence back intact and on a little bit of a roll, and they've got a bye, and then tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, they'll play the winner of Georgia Tech Pitt, which should be something that they can handle. And then the next game, they would probably most likely play Notre Dame, a team that they've beaten before. Why can't this team get to the semifinals again?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, you wish the best for your team. I mean, everybody's rooting for their particular guys. This team is battle-tested. They've been through a lot. You know, you always have to wonder, I mean, does the style fit the match? You know, you're talking about the winner of the Pitt-Georgia Tech game. I mean, obviously you beat Georgia Tech earlier, but you lose the Pitt at Pitt. And you come back and beat Pitt up pretty good on senior night. If you can have those kind of emotions going into this particular game, the winner of that game, I mean, the ACC tournament being played in New York, I mean, all of the ACC greats would turn over, all make a flip to obviously be this far away from the South.
Yep.
But it gives you an opportunity because, as you know, Virginia's played multiple games in the Barclays Center over the last couple of years. So kudos to Tony and that staff and, you know, everybody for giving them an opportunity to be in that atmosphere already. And I'm hoping that gives them an edge because they played there before and giving them an opportunity to move on in advance. But this is a great basketball. This is a really good basketball team. Obviously not as good as last year when you lose somebody like a Malcolm Brogdon. And then you start losing those guys. You obviously lost your big guy early in the year, a very athletic, a very good guy that would have, you know, helped probably a pro, if you want to be me to be totally honest about losing him inside. And when you lose those kind of players, it really hurts you this time of the year because at the end of the day, you're talking about one possession, one rebound, maybe free throws, the block. When you're talking about NCAA tournament, ACC runs, you guys brought up that Kansas game. And what's so funny about that Kansas game, if you look back, you know, everybody always, you know, talked about what Kansas had. And, you know, we never thought about those things. I wish you guys could have been in that walkthrough. Like, there was not one mention of them having 6 or 7 guys that were going to play in the pros. Like, we had been dealing with that my whole career.
Yeah.
We're from the ACC. We every team has 4 or 5 pros.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, that there's no more time spent against Kansas than there was against Georgia Tech, Carolina, Maryland. You know, those guys were all pros. So that's the kind of attitude I think this team has. You know, they can defend anybody. They can go out there and play against anybody. But at the end of the day, can they make shots? Can you get enough from your ancillary players? Whether it be Kyle Guy, whether it be Merrill Shayot, don't want somebody to step up and to give Ferentes some help. Isaiah Wilkins, those guys, and down the line, and can we stay out of foul trouble? They make an emphasis in these ACC tournaments and these NCAA tournaments about the freedom of movement call. So you have to be careful about those.
Hey, Junior, can you hang with us through the break? Because we got a few more questions for you if you're able to stay with us.
I'm with you.
All right. ACC legend and former star at Virginia, Junior Burrow, on the phone with us. He will return, as will we, after these messages. You're listening to Who's Talking.